Good morning and welcome to Moscow. If you would, please rise and join me in our gathering hymn, hymn number 505, Love Lifted Me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here to this morning's service and just so glad that each of you are here. Just don't have a whole lot by the way of announcements this morning. I guess the one thing that I will point out to you is that we did have our meeting this past week, which was I think step five or six of our process to separate from the Church of the Brethren. There's only really one more step left. And that is the final vote. And so you'll take note there that the final vote is set for July 10th at 1:30 p.m. That is posted on the bulletin board out there, so you can find it there. And I just want you to make sure that you take note of that. Again, that's at 1:30 here at the church, so I believe we'll probably have a fellowship meal following the service that we'll all kind of be able to participate in that. And then at 1:30, those district representatives will be here for that final vote. So I hope that if you are, especially if you're a member, that you will stay, be a part of that congregational business meeting, certainly a big moment in the life of this church. And I hope that you come and help us all discern what is the direction for the Moscow Church. Also, just know that special music will be here with Julia Roadcap on June the 12th. So we look forward to that, for her coming and sharing with us. I hope that you come. She just has a beautiful voice, and I hope that you get to are able to come and hear her. Also, we just thank Kim for the flowers that are here this morning. I see that on the announcement, too, so thank you, Kim, for that. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time, Kim? Thank you, Kim. Appreciate that. And if you would like a new updated directory, you can find that there on the table as you leave, just to pick one up. There's no cost to that. You can just pick one up and take that with you. And Kim shared that it didn't get those new names because it got printed before we received those new members. But don't worry, there'll always be another one next year. So we'll. Okay, the names are in there. Correction for me. The names are in there. It's just the membership, mentioned, the way they're specified when it comes to membership. It's just not corrected yet, but we will. And appreciate that, Kim, for all your work on that. Are there any other announcements you'd like to share?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes, on the greeters chart out on the bulletin board, there's still a lot of blank spaces, so I would encourage you to look at that and please sign up to be a greeter sometime. And I want to thank all those who have already signed up and served as greeters.
And thank you, Janet. What a great thing for anyone can do it. You know, just sign up, put your name out there, and be sure that you're here ahead of time on the Sunday that you sign up to greet people. Basically, you shake hands and hand out bulletins, so it's not that difficult of a thing. What a great way for you to meet everyone in the church, too. Maybe you don't know everyone, and just an opportunity for you to do that. Also, think of the way flowers. There's also a flower sign-up sheet out there as well. We're always just appreciative of those that come and are able to donate flowers for our services. Just kind of adds to the beauty of our sanctuary, and there's a sign-up list out there as well for that. I think there's still some Sundays open. So, anything else? Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we are able to gather here in this place, Lord, to worship and serve you. Lord, we're here to praise your Son, Jesus. Open our hearts to just thank you for who he is in our life. Lord, I appreciate that every person is here, Lord. I just pray that, again, that the hearts are being opened here this morning to hear your word and just to worship you. Lord, we're not here for ourselves. We're not even here for each other, but we are here for you, Lord, to worship you and to serve you. Lord, that's what we're here to do. And Father, we just praise you here this morning in this time. And Father, we just worship you for who you are. We just praise you, and it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. You'll find this in your bulletins. This coming from portions of Matthew chapter 23. And this is Jesus speaking. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but on the inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but outside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, who strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Blind Pharisees, first clean the outside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them may be clean also. Page 473, let us now join in song, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Page 473.
Save.
I tell you, isn't that song wonderful? Oh, man, even if you don't like singing, you this song gets you to want to sing because it's just such a powerful song. The one thing that really stuck out to me is this verse that says, "And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." Isn't that something? We just cry out to Jesus, don't we? Victory in Jesus, and we cry out to him, "Heal us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We praise you." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the victory which we have received in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we sing this victory anthem out to you here this morning. Lord, we praise you for the glorious things which we have received and gained with you, those mansions that we hear about, the healing that we have received. Lord, we thank you and we bless your holy name here this morning. We just praise you for all the victory that we have received in you. Father, we sing out this victory anthem to you, not just because it sounds good, but Father, because it is true, because we have truly received the victory which is in your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the victory which you have given all those who call upon your name, who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray that every person here is able to say that, even right now with me, that they truly are victorious because they have called out and have received the name of Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the victory which we have. We praise your holy name here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want to take just a couple minutes here to gather up some prayer requests and praises. I have a few here I want you to put on your prayer list. First of all, would you put Ellen Wampler on your prayer list? Ellen went last week and had surgery. She is home recovering now. Ellen Wampler is the daughter of Phyllis Wampler. Many of you know Phyllis. And Ellen has just had some issues with Crohn's disease. And so if you would just lift her up in prayer, just pray for her recovery. She is home and she is recovering well, but she certainly asked for your prayers and that you would be thinking of her in this coming week. So, also, we want to continue to pray for Randy Simmons. Randy is home. I was able to go down and actually stop by and I delivered the certificates to Patty and Randy for their welcoming into the fellowship here, their membership certificates. I was able to give that to them, and Randy was doing well. He was kind of relaxing in his chair, and he was really doing good. So he's still got some things he's working on, his therapy with his speech and with his walking. And so that's just going to take some time. He's had a very serious stroke. And so we just praise the Lord for all the recovery that's happened. We just thank the Lord that he's home. We were able to just have a nice prayer there for him in the home. And he was just thanking the Lord for all the good things that he has received through all this, all the blessings that he's seen through all this, especially his family coming around him. And he mentioned his church family coming around him. And he was very blessed to know that he was officially, they've been coming for a while, but officially a part of the congregation here, this body. And so we just praise the Lord for that and the goodness that is happening there. Also, we just praise the Lord that Bruce is here this morning. And not just Bruce, but Mary Lou's with him as well. For Bruce and Mary Lou. But we praise the Lord, Bruce, that you are doing better, that you've gotten a good report. Apparently you've been good enough that you can come to church now.
Yeah. I'm better further along than a person that has had it at the same time I did.
Right.
I'm about a month ahead of myself.
Praise the Lord.
I have to be very careful.
Right.
And doing certain things, so I got to limit myself. Even though I'm eager to get out,
yeah,
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I also want to thank my wife for taking care of me.
Amen. Bruce, we hear you there, and we just praise the Lord that Mary Lou has been there, been able to help you through that situation, and your family as well have been able to come around, kind of like Randy and Sharon. You know, you just so appreciate your family being there, your church family lifting you up in prayers. And so we're just so glad to see you here this morning. We know that means you're on the path to getting back to your old self and your old life. I know you want that back so badly. It's tough. Some people think, well, wouldn't it be nice if I could just sit home all the time? But ask Bruce, that's no fun. Once you do that long enough, you'll want to be going. And so,
but I think my speedy recovery from all the prayers.
Yes, amen, amen. And we're just going to continue to lift you up for healing, Bruce. Pray that these bones mend back together and that there's no long-lasting effects from this very serious accident that you had. So, and maybe no more ladders. Just stay away from ladders in general. That's kind of hard to do in your line of work, though, isn't it? It really is. Yeah. And Everett, it's so good to see him again here this morning. We know he's making recovery as well from hip surgery. We just want to continue to lift Everett up in prayers and just pray that the Lord will continue to mend back all that the doctors had done there to help his hip and replace his hip. Also, Ronnie Radebush, please lift him up in prayers. Ronnie had knee surgery this past week. He's doing well. Katie said he was in a good bit of pain. And so if you would just be praying that Ronnie's pain level would be controllable. And, you know, some of these names I mentioned, it's good to send them a card, too. Hopefully you're just not hearing them and they're going in and out, but hopefully you're taking notes and have them in prayer. But also, what an opportunity to send some of these people cards and just tell them that you're thinking of them, that you're praying for them, and that you're lifting them up in prayer. Also, Shirley Ware, if you would, just lift Shirley Ware and John Ware up in your prayers. Billy shared with me that she's going to be going. Shirley has an appointment this week, kind of to help with her back and her legs. So just pray that appointment goes well and she's able to get some comfort for her pains and aches. Other prayer requests or concerns you'd like to share?
The shooting in Texas.
The shooting in Texas, that's right. We want to continue to pray for those who were affected by that very serious shooting in Texas. Thank you for reminding us of that. And we want to continue to be in prayer for those families and just the tragedy that happened there. So,
Mary Lee Reeves.
Yes, that's right. Mary Lee, if you would be in prayer for Mary Lee Reeves. Mary Lee had to go to the hospital last week because of some back issues, and she is back, but she's not completely home, but she's at the Bridgewater home. And she, Janet, we said it this morning, it's, what's this?
The wellness
section there. And so I talked to Richard yesterday, and Richard said that she was doing some better. She was getting some relief for her pain, so praise the Lord for that. He was very happy too. He didn't know exactly when she would be able to come back home, but they were just taking it day by day there in the wellness center, so if you would, just lift her up in prayers. And another opportunity, just send a card to Richard and Mary Lee. You can get one of those brand new directories that Kim helped us with. And it has their address in there. And I know they would really appreciate a card in thinking of Mary Lee and just lifting her up during this time. So, anyone else? All right, with that, let's call on our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let's stand together in prayer. Let's bow our heads together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again, Lord, for the answered prayers which we have received here. Lord, many names were mentioned here this morning, but Lord, in each one of these cases, Lord, I've heard testimony, the church has heard testimony of the good things that, Lord, you are doing in and through these difficult tragedies and these situations that people are dealing with, Lord. Sickness and, Lord, broken bones that are being mended together and, Lord, healing that is happening because, Father, you are the one providing this healing. And, Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you have continued to heal those that seek you. We just pray that you will continue to make those well within our church, Lord, those connected to our church, Lord. Just pray that you continue to heal as only you can heal, Lord. And that, Father, you will get all the praise. Lord, we don't receive that of ourselves, but, Lord, we give the praise to you. And, Lord, we know that that is truly what you desire. Lord, we thank you for the offering that was brought forth this morning. Lord, we know that the hearts that give, I just pray that they give, Lord, in a way that they seek to glorify you and your church and your son. Lord, that they believe in you and they have faith in their hearts. And, Father, out from that, Lord, they seek to give unto this body here, this congregation, and the work that you're doing in and through this church. Father, I pray that you continue to use Moscow. Lord, I know we're going through many changes here, and Lord, we are even seeking to discern which direction, Lord, you would have us to go, whether or not we remain with the Church of the Brethren or whether we go in another direction. But Lord, I just pray that whatever way you direct us, that Lord, you will continue to use this congregation just to be a light that reaches out into an awfully dark world. A world, Lord, we know that is hurting, a world that is without hope, a world that is searching for purpose, Lord, and cannot find it. Lord, please, I pray, just continue to work in through your spirit, through this body, to reach out and to share that message of hope and purpose, and Lord, to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that's what we want to be about. That's what our desire is. Lord, help us to accomplish all that is our mission right here at Moscow. Lord, again, we just praise you as we enter into your looking at your scripture, Lord, and the children go downstairs. I just pray, again, that our hearts are opened up to receive your word. Lord, open our ears to hear what it is that you're trying to tell us. Lord, that we might not be deaf to the things of God, to your things, Lord, that we might not close our ears or our heart to changing, Lord, and being transformed into the image of your Son, Jesus. But Lord, we just pray that our hearts are tender. We pray our hearts are soft, Lord, and that our ears are clear to hear those things that you're speaking to each one of us here today. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you. We praise your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers, for collecting the offering. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed as well. And I want you in your Bible, if you're still here with me, to turn to Galatians chapter 2. We were looking at Galatians chapter 1 last week. We're moving up here a little farther to Galatians chapter 2. Looking at this amazing Christian liberty that we have been given and that we don't lose that Christian liberty. We have an amazing blessing as being Christian that we have liberties in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. We're not bound by the law like in the Old Testament, but we're not bound by the burdens of sin, but we have been freed to serve, free to worship God, free to praise Him, and to lift His name upon high. These are the amazing blessings that we have received in our liberty, our freedom, which we have in Christ. And Paul starts to talk about that here in Galatians chapter 2, talking about these wonderful freedoms that we have in Christ and that we not forsake them, or certainly that we don't go back into the error of our ways. Okay, now looking at Galatians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 3 through 7 and then 11 through 13. So First of all, here, 3 through 7. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, there's the word, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And that is, again, into bondage. Verse 5. To whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seemed to be no difference to me, God showed personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcision or circumcised was to Peter. And then verses 11 through 13, Paul continues on this no returning to the law. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. This is Paul kind of taking on Peter here with this hypocrisy. Verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the uncircumcised. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. You know, we're very blessed, aren't we, as a nation, to be a free nation. Aren't we so blessed in this nation that we're so free? A lot of other nations are envious of us. We have all these people trying to come to America. You know, why? Because we have these wonderful freedoms that we have been given. Sometimes we take these freedoms for granted even, don't we? We're so free in this nation. Freedom of religion. You know, not every country you could go and just worship God freely and openly. They would have you arrested. A lot of churches have to be underground, Christian churches, and churches that are hidden from public eye because they could potentially be imprisoned for going to church. We have the freedom of speech, don't we? Even though sometimes we don't like what some people are saying, they still have the freedom to speak, don't they? The freedom of speech, the freedom of press. The freedom to report on these things, the freedom of people to peaceably assemble, the right to petition or complain, even to complain against the government is what our Constitution says. We have a right to an education, don't we, in America? These are just amazing things that other countries look at us and say, wow, just look how free they are in America. The right to be counted as equal. The right to a fair trial, the right to representation. There's lots of rights and lots of liberty that we have. Why do you suppose that we Americans have all this liberty? Why do you think that out of all the other nations that we have been given all this liberty and freedom? Well, all you need to do is look at the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator to certain unalienable rights. You have been given by your Creator, by God. We recognize as a nation that from God that we have been given certain rights, certain liberties, certain freedoms that God has given to all men. And then he adds, but the liberties, or it goes on to say, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. America was born a nation that believed that God had provided us, presented us, and placed upon all people liberty and freedom. That all people have been given this God-given, natural freedom that which comes from God. Adrian Rogers wrote, our republic was born in the cradle of prayer. in the fires of spiritual revival and rocked in the cradle of the Word of God. And then he adds, but the liberties and freedoms which we have enjoyed are fast receding over the horizon. I think we can agree with that, can't we? We're starting to see some of these freedoms start to be challenged, and they are soon passing away, losing some of our freedoms. We're so free as a nation because we believed in God. We were a God-fearing nations, and we recognize that the freedoms which we have received have come from God. Now, I don't necessarily mean this to be a political sermon, but to make us aware that we have God-given freedoms that our forefathers recognized and wrote them into the framework of our Constitution, which is now under attack. You know, Satan doesn't want a free America, does he? Satan does not want a free America, because a free America is an America which is able to come and to worship Jesus. Satan doesn't want us here. He wants our freedoms gone. He doesn't want a nation that can come and worship God, can worship Christ. Satan doesn't want a free America. A free America is able to preach Jesus. A free America is able to tell others about Jesus. A free America is able to minister to the poor and the helpless in Jesus' name, aren't we? Satan doesn't want a free America that's able to do that. Want to shut the church down. Free America can hand out God's holy word to whomever. The Gideons do that a good bit, don't they? And distribute God's word. You know what Satan wants? Satan wants an America where God's word is contraband. He wants it to be illegal to have God's word right at your fingertips. He wants it to make it something that would be thrown in prison for, to have God's word at your hands. Satan doesn't want an America where the Christian voice is being shared, but he wants it where the Christian voice is silenced, doesn't he? No longer able to speak the things of God. Maybe even incarcerated for speaking the things of God. America where the Christian can no longer help in Jesus' name. No longer be legal or even accepted. Listen, friends, we have a lot of liberty and freedom, and these liberties have come directly from the Christian liberty which we have received in Christ. The framers, they recognize the liberties and freedoms that are extended to us through Christ, and they wrote these things within the fabric of this nation. And we've come to enjoy these things and receive these things, even in this nation, because of that. You know, the Christian life should be a life of freedom, shouldn't there? It should be a life of freedom. We're no longer under the bondage of sin any longer, are we? We're no longer under the control of Satan any longer. We're no longer under the bondage of our flesh any longer. But the Christian life should be a life of freedom. Now, that's challenged a lot of times. Many times they will say, well, you Christians aren't free. You Christians are the ones who are in bondage. That we sinners are the ones that are truly free. Look how free we are. We're out doing all the things we want to do. And there's no restraints to our freedom. But you Christians, you are the ones that are restrained. You are the ones that are living under the bondage of your Christian life. You can't, your religion says you can't. And they make the accusations that we as Christians are the ones that are under bondage, rather than that we are the ones that are free. The Bible says that we Christians are free, that we're not under bondage. Now, we do have, well, I guess we are under the bondage of Christ. But under the bondage of Christ, there is freedom, the Bible says. There's freedom in Christ. There's liberty in Christ. We all serve some taskmaster, don't we? Our taskmaster as Christians is Christ. He's our head, isn't he? He's whom we serve. He's whom we obey. Our burden is to Christ, but didn't Jesus say that my burden is light? Take my yoke upon you. My yoke, my burden is light. So we do serve a master, but our master is Christ. And listen, those that are accusing that we aren't free, they serve a master too. But their burden and their master is sin. And that is a heavy yoke. The only difference really between the two is that one is serving sin, one is serving Christ. And Christ says that in me there is liberty. There is freedom. Under Christ, the freedom of speech is to speak good godly things, isn't it? To speak the things of God. To speak forth the promises of God. That's the liberty we've received through the freedom of speech, to speak these good things. But under sin, the freedom of speech isn't to speak the good things of God, but it is to shout profanity and hate, maybe from the bullhorns which they carry on the streets. Under Christ, the freedom of choice is to choose those things which God desires for us to follow and obey. But under sin, the freedom of choice isn't to choose what is right, but they choose abortion. They choose gay marriage. They choose unholy lifestyle. See the difference between the two choices. Under Christ, the freedom of equality is that we are all Christian, or that we are all of Christ, rather, and that we are all able to serve one another as brother and sister, that there's neither Greek nor Jew, but there's this oneness, this equality in Christ. But freedom under sin says that racism is the original sin in America. That we're all racist. That we need to repent for being white. See how it's manipulated. We all are under some bondage or some taskmaster, but our taskmaster is Christ, and our freedom comes from Christ. Now, Paul here in the scripture, he's going through and he's showing them that these Christians had become under, again, the bondage of sin. That they had been liberated in Christ, they had been given freedom, but yet they find themselves back under the bondage of their old ways. And he says that you've been liberated in Christ. You don't need to go back to these old sorts of things. Number one here, I want to show you the three sorts of bondages that Paul points out that the Christians were still living under. They didn't need to, but yet they had brought themselves under this bondage again. Even if Paul uses that word there in verse 4. This occurred, he says, by false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out the liberty, that freedom which we have in Christ, that they might bring us again into the bondage. So this is a going back to the old things, the bondage that they were in before. So first of all, number one, it was the bondage of appeasement. Look at verses 4 and 5 there. That there arose some brothers, these false brothers, that they had infiltrated the ranks there to spy on those freedoms and to make us slaves again, basically, is what Paul is saying. And we did not, he said, even for one moment give in to them, so that the truth of the gospel might remain in you. These people had come in. They had infiltrated the ranks of the church. And they had, he calls them spies, to spy out the liberty which we have in Christ. And so they came in to kind of criticize and bring persecution against the church for the liberties in which they had received. And to work against the church, to work against the mission of the church, and to prevent the church from doing the things that they were called to do. That they were to care not about the things of God, but to care about themselves. And that these people had brought their lies into the church. And this was the bondage of appeasement. Now notice, Paul says, we did not yield submission even for an hour to these people. That he did not want to be brought into the bondage of appeasing someone. just to be a people pleaser. You know, Jesus wasn't a people pleaser, was he? Imagine how different Jesus' ministry would be if he was always trying to walk on eggshells, trying to please everyone in the ministry. Oh, goodness, I can't say that. Those Pharisees might get upset. We don't want to say that. We don't want to make someone upset that might hurt their feelings. Jesus didn't operate in that realm, did he? He said he spoke the truths of God. He wasn't trying to be a man pleaser. He wasn't trying to appease man, but he was trying to appease God, wasn't he? Isn't that the way we're supposed to live? Not that we're trying to please others. In fact, if we're living a Christian life the way that Christ called us to live it, more than likely, we're going to be an offense to the things of the world. We should be an offense to the things of the world. Listen, if we're not an offense to the things of the world, then potentially we've got something wrong. We may be more of the world than we are of Christ, correct? We're not to live our Christian life to appease the worldly systems, what the world has to say. It is very politically incorrect to say that homosexuality is a sin, isn't it? Is that not accepted? Do people look down at me because I might say that? So be it. I'm not here to speak the things to please the people. We're here to speak the things to please God. And that's what Paul says. Not for one moment am I giving in to those who are putting pressure within the church. Notice, these people are within the church. That's the interesting thing here. It's not even those without the church. But Paul says that these deceivers had entered into the church itself. And friends, let me tell you today, there are still those that are infiltrating the church. They are trying to pull the church in any direction but the direction that God wants it to go. And we have to be aware, friends, that even in the church, there can be ungodliness that is pulling the church in the wrong direction. And we have to be willing to stand up and say, this is what God's word says, and we're going to stand on it, and we're going to believe it. Even if it's not popular. Even if it's not the accepted opinion of its day. That's okay. We're not to be people pleasers. We're to be pleasing God. Correct? We're to be pleasing God and not pleasing man. We must be willing to be bold today. Listen, it's going to take a bold stand in a world that is continuing to put pressure with these, what they would call them, these incorrect views, worldviews. They think your worldview is trash. The world thinks your worldview is crazy. It doesn't accept it. It doesn't believe it. And many churches have folded over because they're afraid that the persecution of their views is not accepted by the world. So they just fold over and just say, okay, well, we'll just believe what you're believing. We'll just allow it and receive it in. And you can see it today being preached from the pulpits. You can see it being accepted by the people in the churches. And these churches are rolling over. Because they want to appease man rather than please God. I tell you, friends, we have to be careful that we're not seeking to be man pleasers in this world today, but that we are seeking to please God. Paul said, we did not cower in the face of adversity, and nor should we, friends, nor should we. We are called to be the church of Jesus Christ, regardless if it means being insulted or even assaulted. And Paul was both of those things, wasn't he? He was insulted many times and he was assaulted. Read through Corinthian church. This thing. I don't know if that's going to do it or not. Hey, Gerald, hit the power on that thing. It's buzzing again. Yeah, that fixed it. But this, he wasn't concerned. And if you read through 1 Corinthians, he goes through a long list of where he was insulted and assaulted. He was beaten, left for dead how many times? He took a stand, didn't he? He was willing to take a stand for Christ. Listen, church, we have to be willing to take a stand as well. We cannot be brought back into the bondage of trying to just please other people. And that's what it is. It's bondage. The sin of appeasement. And Paul said he didn't give into it, not even for one moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain in you. Now, number two, notice there, not only the bondage of appeasement, but notice it was also the bondage of appearance. The bondage of appearance. Verse 6, or those who seem to be important, whatever they were, make no difference to me, he says, but God does not judge by external appearances, for those men added nothing to my message. Note that they were judged by the external appearance of things. They were more worried about the external appearance than they were about the inward things. Notice in your call to worship, Matthew 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside may be clean also. Jesus pointed out that many people, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were more focused on what the outwardly appearance was than really what was inwardly going on. Jesus says you need to be concerned more about the cleanliness of the inside than you are about the outside. Don't get so much caught up in the appearance of things. And Christians, we can do that as well. We can get so caught up in the appearance that we are this thing, that we are Christian, that we are, you know, leaders in the church, that we are this person. We can be so caught up on the appearance of things, but in the inside, really things aren't jiving. Things aren't lining up. Things aren't really truly what we say they are. And he says it's a bondage to get caught into that mess. Worry more about what's going on the inside, not so much about what is going on necessarily on the outside. The inside will match the outside rather than vice versa. You're putting on some false facade, like he says here about these whitewashed tombs. On the inside, just a bunch of dead man bones. He says the same thing about the cup and the dish. On the inside, they're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Get straightened up on the outside, or the inside, rather than so much focus on the outside. Listen, church, we can get caught up on that as well, can't we? We can be so focused on the appearance of our ministry here that we're appearing to be this perfect thing, when in the inside, it's just a catastrophe. We need to focus on the inside first, and not so much necessarily focusing just on the outside. I read a story this week, maybe some of you have seen it, about an Indiana pastor who was called out from his own pulpit over grooming and sexually assaulting a young girl in his flock when she was only 16 years old. Bobby Giphart, did any of you read that story this week? Maybe see it on the news. Bobby Giphart stood on the stage of her childhood church and said, "If you love us, please let us talk." For 27 years, she said, "I lived in a prison. I lived in a prison of lies and shame, lying to protect," she said, "the pastor's family. For years, I thought I was a horrible person, having even suicidal thoughts," she shares. "Not really realizing what had been done to me and that I was the victim." Listen, this pastor gave all the appearance that he was a man of God, wasn't he? But you know the old scripture where it says a wolf in sheep's clothing? And he was preying on this girl. And for all these years, she kept it hidden, finally coming out. And this pastor, of course, resigned, as he should, and step away from the ministry. Might be other things that need to be done. But here's the idea. You present yourself as this person of God. What would it be if I present myself as this person of God, a pastor, a Christian, and then on the inside, it's not true at all? Wouldn't that be just the greatest of hypocrisies, wouldn't it? It's bondage. You're living back under the old life. Christ has set you free from that. It's not about appearances, even like the Jews were trying to live under the appearance of being righteous. They had all the appearance of righteousness, and yet they themselves were not righteous. Isn't that something? They sure looked like it. They sure looked righteous, but they were not righteous. Have you ever wondered what a church full of Pharisees would look like? What would a church full of Pharisees look like? Well, they would attend every service. They would tithe every penny of their money. They would attend every service. They would be faithful workers in the church. They would all be model believers. But listen, there's another thing they have in common. They would all go to hell. That's what they have in common, really. Just a bunch of fakers. It's not true. They looked the part. They had all the things that says they were godly. All the things that pointed that they are the model Christians. And yet, Jesus points out that they were all fakers. And they weren't real at all. Listen, friends, it isn't enough just to look Christian. We actually have to be Christian. That means you actually have to model the Christian things that Christ says you are to model. We actually have to live out the Word of God and believe it in our heart. We better have it on the inside, friends. Not so much that we're focused on the outside appearance, but we better have these things on the inside, and they better be real. Or Christ calls us out and says we're nothing but a hypocrite. And it's not true at all. The bondage of appeasement, the bondage of appearance, and lastly, the bondage of acceptance. Verses 11 through 13, we see here when Peter came, that he changed his tune all of a sudden when those certain Pharisees or these Jews came into Antioch. And all of a sudden, he pulls himself away from the Christian liberties which he had found in Christ. He goes back to the old circumcision, the old group there, this Jewish believing group, and he tries to get their acceptance. And Paul, he called him out, didn't he? He was bold enough to call him out, even making mention here that the hypocrisy of Peter was working over even to destroy or to pull Barnabas away. And maybe this was why him and Barnabas later on didn't get along. They actually had to separate in their ministries. Could be that kind of Paul held some resentment against Barnabas for being weak and falling into this old desire of being accepted of man rather than trying to be pleasing to God. You know, peer pressure is not something that you think really should affect us in the church like it would teenagers. But listen, it certainly can. You can begin to change your ways because you want to be accepted by other people, maybe even other people in the church. And you act one way when certain people are around you, and then when other people are around you, you act a totally different way. You know, maybe it's when you're in church, you appear one way. Then when you're out of church, you appear another way. Well, that's unholy, isn't it? It's hypocrisy in our faith. It's bondage. Paul was looking one way when certain people were around, or Peter was, I mean, and then when other people were around, he looked a whole different other way. Chapter 5, verse 1, here's Paul would conclude by saying, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again by the yoke of bondage." Chapter 5, verse 1. Do not be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. This bondage of appeasement, this bondage of appearance, this bondage of acceptance. Paul says, you have been freed from these things. Don't go around trying to be man-pleasers. Don't go around trying to live under the old curse of the law, the old bondage of the law. You have been freed from these things. And live them out. Let them be real. Yeah, I was listening this morning on the news, and one of the big movies out right now is Tom Cruise's movie, Top Gun. Maybe you've seen the old one back in the 80s. And the new one is Top Gun Maverick. And everybody's just kind of raving about this movie. And it is good. I went to go see it. We went to the drive-in theater last week and got to see it. You can get a whole carload in there for one price. Really great. It's the budget movies. If you need a movie on a budget, go to the drive-in. And we've seen the movie. One of the things, though, they were saying this morning on the news was that the reason this movie was a hit was because it wasn't all that CGI. You know, everything now is fake, kind of CGI. But this movie was done with real airplanes, F-18s. And that there was a realness to it that could be appreciated. That people are sick of all the fake in the world. And they want something that's actually real. And I thought, wow, doesn't that fit in to what we're talking about today? God doesn't want us to be fake, does he? He don't want a CGI Christianity. He wants something that is real within us. And that we might live in the freedom of that realness that he has given to each one of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the relationship which we have in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the freedoms that we have been given in him. And Lord, I pray that none of us enter back into that bondage that this Galatian church had fallen into again. Lord, they sought to please man rather than God. Lord, they were under the bondage of trying to live under the old ways rather than under the freedom that they had received in Christ. Lord, I pray that we have received that freedom, and Lord, that we are truly living in it, seeking to please you first and foremost in our life. Lord, help us to do that, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Let's gather now in our closing hymn, page 477. Stand up for Jesus, page 477.
Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross.
Will you bow your heads with me in prayer? Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Father, that we serve a God, Lord, that gives us such freedom and liberty. Lord, we see it in our own nation, this liberty that we've received. Lord, we know that it's God-given. Lord, we pray that we always live in that liberty. Lord, that we're not brought back under the bondage of sin within our life, but Lord, that we are truly free to live out our life, to please you, to serve you. That's where the freedom is. It's our freedom to seek and serve you, Lord, and to live out our lives, to please you in all that we do and that we say. Lord, I just pray that we live out that true liberty within our life. Lord, that we're not captured under the bondage of sin or any other thing, Lord, that would pull us away from our relationship with you. Lord, you want us to be authentic in our relationship. And Father, I pray that there is authenticity here at this church. Lord, that we're not a bunch of fakers. Lord, that we're not a bunch of Pharisees. But Lord, we're truly seeking in our hearts to serve and obey you and to please you in our life. Help us to do that, I pray. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.